Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Mudbutto Sasquatch, and this is The Midnight Garden, my little corner of the internet. Please join me here between the onions and the turnips, and we will speak of things good and bad, large and small, etc., etc., etc. I've tried a strategy these past few weeks. I don't know if it's working well or not, but as long-time listeners will know, I sometimes, often really, have trouble staying awake long enough to make the midnight start time of the show. Sometimes I miss the show entirely just because I fall asleep. So what I've been doing is catching a nap right before showtime, and I think it gives the show an odd dreamlike quality, at least for me. I don't know if that serves the show well or not, but until I think of a better solution, I thought about moving the time of the show, moving the day of the show. It just seems like a hassle, plus inconveniencing this huge audience that I have had developed. So I will do my best to soldier on where I am here and try not to fall asleep in the middle of the show. I think in many ways, like being under hypnosis gives the show an odd honest quality as well. I think honest being I think I may be delving more into myself than I really intended to or cared to. But these are the risks we take being an internet shaman. And what is a shaman? Hard to say, really. Certainly not. I'm not a shaman in the traditional sense. I have, at least I feel I have some sort of contact with things going on around me in the world that other people either don't have or have ignored or lost in some way. And I want to talk about those things, and I think this is really one of the only outlet, really, for me to talk about those things. So it's in that psychological sense, good for me. And I also hope that my intentions are aligned with those of spirit, and that these words find someone out there who needs to hear them. And sometimes, going back over the shows, I wonder how that could be possible, but that is my hope. Okay. In any case, what the major thing I need to share this week is that my, as I suspected might happen, my day job at a major package delivery concern came to an end this week because I'm not fast enough with hands. I was more upset by this than I thought it would be. Really did seem dark and bleak when it happened. Seemed as if, you know, there's nowhere to go from here. Sort of an existential question, you know, where what is the next step? And I could not honestly think of what it was. There you go. That odd dream, like that odd yawning dream-like quality. I sat outside of a restaurant. I won't say which one, but it is a fun casual joint. And contemplated, you know, what life was going to be like. I mean, before it actually happened, you know, I've had periods long periods of unemployment in the past, and always made it through. I don't know why this particular one seems so bleak, but in that moment it did. And I just went inside to the restaurant to eat my troubles away. Something I do, and one reason why I haven't been able to save quite as much money as I would have liked to, you know, help get me through this next leak patch. So what I have been considering is yet another move home to my parents' place. It would be my sixth of my adult life moving back into the fold. I resist doing that. First of all, because I am an adult. And I guess that's the biggest one right there, just that whole failure to launch thing. Well, I have launched. I launch, and then I come back, or I crash, if you want to think of it that way. I've been looking for a piece I wrote for Facebook. I haven't found it yet, but it's hard to find anything on Facebook, particularly old stuff. I keep looking. But the last time I returned, the time number five that I returned home, I wrote a very depressed piece on it. I remember feeling very much the same way that I do now. And it might be interesting to revisit a younger version of myself in the same place. But as I say, I haven't been able to dig that up yet. I think I'm going to keep trying because I'm very curious to read it. Oh, this is good for my broadcast persona. It's the constant yawning. It projects an image of me as a focused, involved person, which is what I'm going to have to be because it's back to the job search, whether I stay in my large city or whether I go back to my small town. I don't think retirement is an option at this point. I need to be working somewhere. I did give a call to my compatriot at the hospital where I had been doing quite a bit of work before. I help instruct medical school students. I'm given a list of symptoms, and then I portray these symptoms for them, and they have to figure out what's wrong with me. Sort of a practice for them before they are turned loose on real people. And it's something I very much enjoy doing, and there were enough hours to keep me going. Unfortunately, there aren't. So there are a lot of hours, and there are other times when there's just nothing. And this would be one of those times when there's just nothing because the university is out of session. So nothing will come my way. And then I've had enough that I've paid my bills for, you know, for the month of December. If I'm very good and I don't do any comfort eating for the next month, I should have enough to pay my utilities for January. And then maybe, possibly, fingers crossed, that stuff will start happening at the hospital between now and then. And help keep me going. Moving forward, there'll be... In the spring and summer, there'll be opportunities to do scoring, you know, the standardized tests that I've done before. And, you know, in between each of those things, finding something else to do. I already have an interview for next Tuesday, an outfit that it helps companies develop their charitable giving. And it's fun. I'm just not sure why they might be interested in me. It's one of those things, you know, why me? My feeling is that this might be, they're very anxious to schedule an interview, and there are all kinds of interview times, which suggest to me that they're bringing in a lot of people. And I also wonder if it's an internship, you know, type position, unpaid internship. This is something, unfortunately, I really couldn't consider. I mean, said, I need to be paying my bills. That's what's most important to me, is being able to pay my bills and keep that apartment. The apartment represents independence to me. It has been ever since I got it 2.5 years ago. I was very fortunate to qualify for that it's part of a HUD program, Housing and Urban Development Program, to get people into housing. At the time, I was unemployed, had been for a while. I qualified under a medical part of the statute. I got my doctor to fill out a form that said I had a medical reason for difficult for me to find work, which I'm not, that's always been very sketchy. I mean, I do have an anxiety disorder. It's not bad enough that I can call myself disabled, which would need a lot more for me. But I'm not disabled. I can work, and I want to work. But having my doctor fill this piece of paper out made me eligible for this program, where they put me in this apartment at a reduced rate. And at the time, at times that I'm not making any money, I'm not paying any rent at all, which is very handy. I got into it. Normally, people have to sit on a waiting list for years. I just happened to get in because they had opened up, a whole new program with a whole new building with 24 units in it. And so they slammed me in there. And never look a gift horse in the mouth. So if I leave, then that's it. I can't come. I'm not going to get back into something like that. So it's of paramount importance that I preserve that at least until I'm working in a situation where I can get a for real apartment, which is the ultimate goal, is for me to be ready to just step into something, is to continue to expand that independence, to have this have some kind of sort of position where I can step out of that and into a sort of a real world situation where I'm really paying the bills and really doing best I can for myself and society, I guess. Honestly, this position I had at the package company wasn't going to become any. Well, I can't. If I had been able to actually do the job, it might have. I would have eventually gone temp to perm, and there would have been more money and benefits available and so forth. But I knew very early on that this was not going to progress to that. That it wasn't that I didn't possess the necessary skills. Still, they were very nice and seemed confident that they could help me get to that point. So I didn't really feel bad about sticking around, and taking their money. If they were looking at me as a development project, but as I say, it didn't work out. So go back to the list, look at the other possibilities, and if it involves some grubbing around for a few months or a year or 2 years or 5 years, that's I look at coming back home as a very last resort. Not that my family is, I love my family. I'm too old. Too old to really move them. I really am. And although being out there, it has its attractions when I think about it. As I said, I've talked often on the show about neighbors being presumptuous and knocking on the door, and people all hours of the night needing help. And it would be such a relief to be able to step away from that. And but then what am I stepping to? So I'm saying, is that the price? the price of my independence is needed to help in some way, to understand that life that I've sort of been a part of, but not really. I've always been had that place that I could escape to. Perhaps being more immersed in it is what I need. Is what I am. Is what the purpose of this experience is. Is to be more part of that which I resist. Can't remember if I told this story on the air or not. While I was still working at this package place, they had a big announcement. They had a big new client coming in. We were all called into the warehouse for a meeting. I remember all the office people were in there, and I felt such an attraction to them that I didn't want to go back to my area when the movie was. I wanted to follow them back to their office. I was just hoping for someone, hoping against hope that someone would recognize me and say, oh, he's not one of them, he's one of us, and take me back with them. But that didn't happen. I guess I'm going to have to make that happen for myself somehow. Somehow, some way. Quite know what happened. Maybe this opportunity next week, you just never know. I've had so many disappointments. I've been in so many of these interviews where it's a job, but it's not really a job, or it's some sort of crap job, and they're talking fast and that, trying to get you to sign on the dotted line. Not sign on the dotted line, to get you to come on board, without really thinking about it, making you feel that you're in a privileged place. The fact is, they have a hell of a time filling these jobs. I just want you, as I said, to get on board without really considering what is meant, because they know you're desperate too. I've been in so many of those. I had an opportunity on Thursday. I could have gone to a job fair. Job fair is the same as one as I've been to before. I figured, what's the point? It's the same kind of jobs and the same kind of approach taken. The other thing, in 52 years, I've never taken clothing to be dry cleaned, and my interview suit badly needs to be dry cleaned. That's something I'm going to have to take care of on Monday, and we'll chalk that up to the realm of new experience. The things that I'm going to negotiate getting that suit cleaned. Those little experiences sometimes I gain a little confidence. Let me check the clock on the wall here. What is that? Can you still hear me? I don't have a clock here in my room. I'm at my folks' place right now. I don't have a clock in here. I have to depend on my cell phone, which I'm actually speaking into right now. So I want to know how much of the show has elapsed. I have to sort of almost stop the show and pull the phone away from my face and look at the time. Also, I don't know, I'm not familiar enough with this clock really to know if I haven't just cut myself off or not. I don't think I have. I never checked the last week's show. I thought I might have been cut off the whole time. But when I did finally go to hang up the phone, I saw that the timer was still going, so I presumed that the show had been carried to the end. And that's another thing I miss. I have And when I had the internet at the house, you know, I could do the show from there, from my computer, and with my set of headphones and the Blog Talk's interface in front of me. And I just wanted to see the clock, see their clock, you know, as it was counting down. There's all these things you just take for granted. You know, I could do that. I could actually do that from the parking lot at that restaurant. I was talking, it's Roosters, is the restaurant, parking lot Roosters. They have a nice, strong, free Wi-Fi signal. I sent the parking lot outside, and I can be on the internet. And I did the show from my phone, though. I didn't do it from the computer. But I could, you know, charge up the computer and make sure I have a nice full charge of the computer, and go over there sometime and just do the whole show from the parking lot unless somebody came to warn me off. And I'm not sure why that would be. I've done shows from parking lots before, just not from my actual computer. To get that computer in there and it's, you know, it's casting the weird light on your face and whatnot, and the whatnot, and people are bound to get curious, I guess. I don't know. Curiosity killed the cat, as they say. I don't know. It really freaks me out to have to be a prick while I'm sitting in my car. And this happens a lot I haven't been keeping track, but the last several times that I've gotten gasoline in my neighborhood, someone has approached me as I'm filling up my car. You know, gives me the story and then asks for money. I mean, at this point, at least for the next, you know, at least till the next next big thing comes along, I will be very honest when I say I don't have any. But I don't, it really freaks me out to be approached in that way, and I find it happens a lot in the neighborhood in which I live. So it's one of those things that makes me uncomfortable, and I'd be much more serene coming back to the folks' house. I don't want to do that. Just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But my mother's very excited about the prospect of my coming back. She's already started clearing out, you know, spots and closets for me, and considering what would need to be done about possible materials bought with food stamps, because according to Hoyle, you're supposed to, if you're living in somebody's house, you're supposed to keep your food separate if you're buying it with food stamps. Now they've at least in our state, they've cut the staff at the food stamps place back. They cut it back so far. They really don't have anybody to come and check that stuff. So, boy, I avoid that place like a plague, like especially in my big city. It's like being a third world country. And last time I was there, they gave me some incorrect advice, which messed me up. So I haven't been back. I've been trying to, you know, make my way as best I can without it. But Medicaid, of course, is very important to me. So all the talk about, you know, possible changes to that is always something I listen to very closely. I don't like any of that stuff. You know, it's being dependent on services. I really rather not be. But I need to find... I need to find something that, you know, I can do that would preserve my dignity. And you say, why is that important? Certainly, legions of people in this country are able to live every day without their dignity. I don't know. Something something inside me dies. You know, whenever I go to do just you know, something, so now I start to sound elitist. Just to start to do something that, you know, that anyone can do. I don't look down on that. I don't look down on it at all. I just know that I am capable of more. I can do more. I can do better. I can do more for you. That's what I'm thinking of this job, the package place. Okay, it's FedEx. Put me in that office and give me a chance. You know, that there was just no pathway to that. Everything was about your speed. You know, you get to be Speedy Gonzalez, and that is what opens up doors for you. And I was just never going to get there. So that's you know, something that had to end, and I'm you know, overall glad that it ended. The depression and the angst that I had over it has largely dissipated over the last few days. It's now a focus upon survival. What do I do next? And you know, it's resting in the knowledge that I've always made it up until this point. And I have to believe that there's something on the other side. And I'm not talking about a mystical other side. I'm talking about this experience, you know, having this 4.5 year experience, having them without regular employment. There has to be something, for sure. There have to be lessons that were learned. And then also lessons that I can apply to whatever it is that comes next for me. And that there is, in fact, something that comes next, that this is not it for me for the rest of my life. I haven't screwed things up that badly, that it's totally unrecoverable. Now, those are things that are depressing to think about. And I want to turn away. I want to turn away from you recognize the depression and the cynicism and the angst that are my daily companions. But then to turn those things around and inside out, and direct them toward something better, and then be able to look back on it and find what the lessons were. Just got my 90-second warning. I want to thank you for listening to this depressing episode of The Midnight Garden. And I accept my fervent hope that next week there'll be something more uplifting for you. I will certainly look very hard and then do my very best to make that happen. Until then, thank you for listening, and have a pleasant evening.